Hi, friends, and welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. Our hope is that these conversations will encourage you as we hear about how the beliefs and practices of MCC are carried out in the daily lives of members of our fellowship. And happy today to have a conversation with DJ Noon and JC Morrison as we think about the needs of children in foster care and adoption, the needs of kids often referred to in the system or in residential programs, and how the local church can participate in that ministry. When we think about the needs of kids in care, I'm inclined to think about Jesus' teaching on hospitality in Luke 14. And Jesus is teaching here in the context of a Pharisee inviting Jesus to his home. And Jesus sees those who are invited and instructs them, and then turns to the Pharisee who invited him. And he says, "Will you give a lunch or a dinner?" Luke 14:12. "Don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, rich neighbors, those who could pay you back. Instead, when you host, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, and blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you." And this, in some ways, is a grid for caring for kids in the system and trying to help them, inviting them into our lives and as we are invited into their lives. So, brothers, welcome. Good to have you here. Let's catch folks of MCC up on you in case they don't know you well yet. DJ, I want to start with you. Just give us a snapshot here of your connection to MCC, and then we'll transition and talk specifically about your work with kids in the system and in care the last couple of years.
Sure. So, yeah, I first started coming to MCC back, I believe it was the summer of 2019. And about, after a few months, joined as a member, and I've just been really, really enjoyed the fellowship there. One of the things that kind of drew me to MCC was, one, my connection with you, having you as my Greek professor, and once I began coming, just the amount of love that the church shows to everyone who steps through those doors was just super encouraging and super amazing, and just really kind of, I remember just, I stepped in that first Sunday and just never wanted to leave, never just felt that this was the place where God was kind of leading me towards. So, I've really enjoyed my time with MCC for, I guess, being a member for about a year and a half now. And just through that process, the Lord kind of opened some doors to begin working in orphan care, working with foster and or adopted children. My connection with you and with the Morrisons, and I believe it was you that actually initially reached out to me with a open position at the children's home. It was a weekend night monitor position, and so it would require me to be there Friday through Sunday, all night, kind of acting as a security person. And so I remember just kind of praying through some things, and I remember, at the time I'd been working at a car wash and just really wanted to start working in a position that would allow me to kind of integrate faith a little bit more. Not that there aren't opportunities there with some more secular jobs or at a car wash, but, just wanted a chance to kind of, apply what I had been learning from seminary in a more direct way. And so, I'd applied for the position, felt that this was the direction where God was leading me, and applied for the position and was accepted and, enjoyed about 6 months there. But, through time, just the night position became really tough to maintain. Sleep schedule was always changing and was just always tired, and felt like, I was just lacking focus in certain areas. And so, around that time is when I was set up with a family that needed help in home. And that's when I kind of became aware of LifeWorks KC and what they do. And, they're kind of focused on family, on maintaining family relationships. And, you know, whereas the children's home brings kids into that environment at a group home setting, LifeWorks really tries to send people into the homes of families to keep kids from having to go residential, keep kids from having to, you know, be separated from the family, and really try to work in that environment to maintain those family relationships as much as possible. So I started working for there back in April, and yeah, I've enjoyed the past couple months working with them.
Many of our listeners won't recognize that kids who grow up in vulnerable families and situations that lead to separation deal with trauma. And that trauma manifests itself in lack of attachment and behavioral issues. And when those spike to the point of the child being dangerous or threatening himself, herself, threatening property, others around them, and the behaviors become so difficult that it's hard for parents or other children in the home to feel safe, to feel comfortable, to just maintain life. And that's when often there are residential options for a child to get some intense therapy for a time to rethink their life situation. And trauma involves cognitive processes, not just how someone feels, but why they feel that way. And that's why behavioral therapists like DJ can enter the picture and be such a value to a family in a home. And in many ways, provide a mentoring relationship as well. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters of MCC, a family trying to do this without a church? The church provides many of these kinds of connections, but sometimes extra help, constant help, can be an asset as well with expertise and training, and that's where DJ comes in. So DJ, you worked for the Missouri Baptist Children's Home, and again, our listeners know that we are a Southern Baptist church and are familiar with a cooperative program that our giving supports in Kansas, the state Kansas and Nebraska convention working together. And some of those resources that we give go to the North American Mission Board and International Mission Board and others. But folks in Missouri who attend churches in Missouri give to the Missouri Baptist Convention, and a portion of their giving supports the Missouri Baptist Children's Home. Kansas, Nebraska does not have a children's home, but Missouri does. And that's where DJ was employed. And we remember those weekend night shifts and you really pressing in on Sunday mornings to stay awake for a season, but now working with LifeWorks. And I want to circle back to that here in a few moments. But JC, catch listeners up on your connections with MCC and then with meeting the needs of vulnerable kids.
Yeah, Julie and I have been members at MCC for almost 2 years now. So in summer of 19 is when we first got connected with the church. And I think within about a month, we started our membership process there. So that's coming up on 2 years. We currently have two foster sons. They've been at our home for about 6 months now, but we've been in the process of getting licensed and going through this for almost for a year and a half or so now. So we've been kind of involved and around it for a bit.
And your two boys in foster care, and we get to see them regularly at MCC and seeing others rally around you. And we have an earlier podcast, friends, if you have not listened to that, with JC and Julia and Jim and Diane Langdon telling their story, just a rich story there. And you can reach back to the podcasts earlier in 2021 to hear that. But JC, let's just catch up here. Let's start broad and zoom in. You began to think about foster care and adoption with Julia and then began to enter the process. Now you've had a couple of children in your home for several months. You're exposed to the system, if you will. Describe it generally. What is the system? And then work from there to help us think about the needs of these kinds of kids.
Yeah, so I guess the most general idea of the system would be the government utilizing its authority to care for individuals who aren't being cared for. So anyone who's in the system has entered it because their living situation has been deemed unsafe. The parents have been deemed unable to care for them at this point in time. And so they enter the system as a means to protect the children, to help them grow and enter a stable environment while the parents are getting better, whether it be therapy or whatever that may be. It could also be just a death or a traumatic situation that has removed them from the home. So the system in broad sense is the government stepping in to try to protect and care for children who don't have that there for them. And so that's what the most general or the most common occurrences of kids in the system are going to come in through the foster care system, which is a temporary housing situation, if you would, a temporary parenting situation where parents have been dealing with a vast array of issues that deem their situation unsafe for the children. And the idea there is that they get the children get placed with a foster care provider, a resource parent, as they're called now, to parent them, care for them, to help help them develop and have a somewhat normal childhood while the parents get better. And the case goal for most of these children is to get them back into their house with their parents once that situation is rectified and deemed safe. When you're dealing with most foster care situations, that's the general idea is to have a healthy environment for the kids to continue to grow and develop and to learn and be kids while the parents are doing this, while the parents are using the time to focus on themselves and go through the therapy, go through anything like that for them. So that's kind of like a general idea of what the system is. There's all sorts of numerous different arms and branches that branch off of that. And that's kind of where DJ comes into play and people like him who are helping along the way. But when generally the system is just the governmental agencies that have come in to help protect and to provide care for children who are neglected or are in danger, things like that.
I want to pursue the specific question with you, JC, and then to you, DJ. Needs of kids. What are their needs? Just at a broad level, when you think about needs of kids in care, JC, you've mentioned generally they need a home and they need safety and food and those kinds of things. Two or three besides that, and DJ, I'll kick it to you.
Yeah. So I think the most general ones obviously are those things that are needed to survive. Like what you said, a home, food, you know, all those general things. But beyond that, I think one of the major ones is just love, to know that they're cared for, to know that they're loved by at least one person. We're not talking about like whether or not the parents are loving them. I don't think that's a question for most of them. It's just a matter of a lot of things have changed. So they need a sense of consistency, a sense of people are there for them. That's one of the main things that we tell our boys is that they're loved and that our job is to care for them and help them out and just to continue to grow and live a happy life. So I think in general, they need someone there to love them, multiple people. The more people that are consistently there and caring for them, the better. I think intrinsically, we're trying to instill just a sense of value of their lives, that they're that they've been created by God and that there should be enough to know that they are loved beyond measure by the creator of the universe, but they are also loved by us. Consistency. Again, they just need to have a constant in their life. In general, like our boys went through about 3 months of bouncing around and just kind of general case issues where a lot of the things were up in the air. So being in the same home with the same people for 6 months at this point has been tremendous for just their growth and their ability to live. So love, consistency. And I think the other thing just beyond that is just community. A lot of times, a lot of these kids have been in a home where they've been kind of sheltered or kept away from everyone else, whether that be in a neglect situation or just the circumstances surrounding the parents have kind of eliminated what that may be, whether it be extended family or friends or neighbors, that sort of thing. So being surrounded by a bunch of happy people, a bunch of people where they can get along with, provides, you know, just furthers, extends that love that they feel, and also kind of provides them with a sense of joy that there's people around them that care about them and that want to play with them and be with them. So I think just community, love, and consistency are kind of one of the major parts that a foster child or child in the system needs.
DJ, jump in there. Additional ideas or things that you'd want to echo from JC?
Yeah, I think JC touched on a lot of important things. I would say the greatest need for any child in the system is, as JC said, just love. And I would say unconditional love. And the only way for that to really come is through families who are committed to Christ. You know, families who are committed to Christ are the only ones that are really going to be able to love these kids the way that they ultimately need to be loved, which is through the love of Christ. You know, you have some kids who, I've worked with kids who have been trapped in cages and, you know, thrown scraps for meals. And so they're starving, they don't trust, and they just need families to come alongside them and provide their needs, you know, their most basic needs first, you know, food, shelter, protection, love. And going beyond that, though, you know, I think one of the biggest needs is structure. You know, kids need to learn how to thrive in a busy environment. Because, I mean, many of these kids, they get older, they age out of the system with really no preparation for what is coming with the real world, you know, needing to get a job and, you know, provide financial support for themselves and for others if they have anyone else in their lives. And when they don't have that discipline in place of what, you know, a day-to-day needs to look like, they're kind of just, they're thrown out of the system and they're kind of just left to fail. And so it's really important that, you know, the families that they are placed with see structure as an important thing, you know, having you know, expectations for the kids, and, you know, bring them into the family. And you know, I would say between love and structure, those are probably some of the most important things for these kids, is just to be able to be loved unconditionally and, yeah, be able to have routines that can help them thrive, whether or not they remain with the family.
It's fascinating to hear what you all have just shared in terms of what kids need: love, consistency, community. What if people were to describe MCC or a general healthy church? Love, consistency, community. So these characteristics of the church are what kids need, and it's not hard to do the math. And we see just the exact logical consistency with James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. In other words, we are able to be pure, be whole, be who we are, those of love and consistency and community, best when we are doing that even with the vulnerable like orphans and widows. And we're thinking here about orphans. Well, brothers, as we look to the summer months here, DJ, you're in transition to a new position. Give us just a couple of ways that we can be praying for you.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ways is just for patience and humility. You know, it's working with kids with trauma really, really tests you. You know, you have an idea of how things should go in a home where, you know, there weren't many issues. And then you jump into a home where these kids have experienced great trauma, and you kind of have to throw some of those principles out the window at times. And so, you know, there's often a desire for immediate justice when, you know, these kids act up, when they start acting out. And so just prayers for wisdom that I would be able to understand what kind of the root of the acting out is. You know, the acting out is just a response mechanism. You know, what is the purpose behind them acting out? What need isn't being met when they're acting out this way? And again, prayer for patience that, you know, I would not overreact. You know, my job is to be someone I can trust. And, you know, trust is slowly built and quickly lost. And so just prayer that, you know, I would remain patient and humble before these clients so that, you know, when they do overreact, you know, I'm able to remain level-headed and do what they need at those times.
Thanks for sharing, DJ. We will. How about you, JC, as you look to summer, how can MCC be praying for you?
Just be praying for the boys to continue to develop well and go through those life stages that they've kind of missed up to this point because of the trauma. But for Julie and I, just a load of patience for the exact reasons that DJ was mentioning there. With the trauma, and like you've mentioned, the cognitive delays that are developed because of it. We have two toddlers that are going through essentially the same, terrible twos and all those other stages together, even though they should be beyond them or getting past them now. So all those fun things that come with toddlers, just patience for them and a continual that love for them and be able to show that love. Pray that they'll continue to grow in their understanding of just things going on around them. Us teaching them, basic biblical truths like God has made them and that God loves them beyond anything that they can understand. It's always fun to see them pick up on those threads, but just to see those seeds continue to be, have those seeds continue to be planted and also see them grow is a major prayer of ours. And Julie and I are just kind of also just prayer for consistency in our work life and the things that are necessary for us to continue to live as adults. So just kind of those things would be great.
Mm. Well, I know we will be praying for you and looking forward to how the Lord's going to work in these situations. Brothers, thank you for your faithfulness and continue to keep us in the loop. We want to assist you in assisting kids, and we want to do that ourselves. Well, friends, until next time, the Lord bless you. I do want to say a special word of thanks to Pastor Adam Anderson and Caleb Sheffield for their musical scores here at the beginning and ending of our podcast, and Alex Volkman for producing these. DJ and JC, God bless you, brothers. So encouraged. Thank you for this time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.